In Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 28, is a picture of the seven-year tribulation. In Mark chapter 13, verses 5 to 27, is a picture of the same thing. And in Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 28, is a picture of the seven-year tribulation. The tribulation will begin immediately after the rapture of the church. It'll begin with the Lord Jesus Christ unrolling the seven-sealed book. The seven seals are opened, or unleashed, rather, is a good word, through the entire seven-year tribulation. The first six seals will be opened during the first half, 3.5 years. When the first seal is opened, the white horse arrives on the scene. Some people call it the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Most of them have no idea what they're talking about. I'm going to write a book about it so I can make some money. I think it'd be a good idea to scare people. The four horses of the apocalypse, they're coming, they're on the scene. I can make a couple million dollars. I think I'll do that. I just decided, just like that.
Everyone else does.
Huh?
Yeah, everybody else does.
Yeah, that's what everybody else does. I'm going to make a bundle. I'll get me a new car. I think I'll go out and buy a
new boat.
Well, no, I use the old boat. I'll just get me a magic fishing pole.
Oh.
Yeah, one of those things that tracks fish. I don't know how much they cost or where to get them. But anyway.
I'll sell you a magic car.
Yeah.
I bet you will. But anyway, in Matthew chapter 24. A picture of the seven-year tribulation. In chapter 6 of Revelation, verses 1 and 2, do not turn there. The Antichrist arrives on a white horse, not literally, it's symbolic. He offers peace to the world. Reference that Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and Daniel chapter 11, verse 21 through 24. He offers peace. Immediately after that, he takes peace and war breaks out throughout the entire world. Matthew chapter 24, verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. You look around the world today, you see earthquakes, all kinds of tragedies. Japan just had one. And some preacher I know is going to get up behind the pulpit and say, God's trying to tell us something. You know, I think you're right. He's trying to tell us that there was an earthquake and a tsunami in Japan. That's what he's trying to tell us. He doesn't need to tell us anything else. But anyway, it's nothing compared to what the seven-year tribulation will be like. There will be earthquakes all over the place. There will be famines everywhere. Man will be against man. Verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And many shall be offended and betray one another, and shall hate one another. Why? Well, because the Holy Spirit is removed. When the rapture takes place, the world without the Holy Spirit will be a tragedy. It will be an absolute disaster. No love whatsoever. It will be a hatred that you cannot imagine. And they shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What a terrible time it's going to be. Let me ask you something. If the rapture takes place today, is anybody here going to be left behind to go into the tribulation? Me neither. I'm not. And the reason I'm not going to be left behind is because I made a decision a long time ago. Verse 13, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The end of what? The tribulation. Isn't the Bible easy to understand?
No, when they're talking about saved, in this verse, how are they applying
physically saved?
Saved. Just physically saved?
Well, you got to be literally saved to be physically saved. If you're not saved by faith in Christ, you are not saved during the tribulation. But if you are saved by faith in Christ during the tribulation, and you endure to the end, you will be saved alive to go into the tribulation. That makes sense? Absolutely. Verse 14, this is the verse I was going to get to eventually. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. The end of what? The tribulation. Today we live in the church age. It's called the age of grace. In this church age, the gospel is preached, is it not? But it's not the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the church age. The next event is the rapture of the church. But during the 7-year tribulation, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Notice, if you will, the diagram I gave you up here. You could also go to Revelation chapter 14. Chapter 14. We'll go there maybe in a minute. The tree represents the gospel. The tree represents the gospel. It could be a tree or it could be a vine. You might want a reference to a vine. The fruit of the gospel, that is, if you preach the gospel to someone and they get saved, that's your fruit. You follow me so far? You got to follow me now. So that's your fruit. The bottom below the tree is the fruit of the tree. It might be an apple, whatever. But if that was a vine, it would be a clump of grapes, right? Okay, that's the fruit. Now, if you take that apple, let's suppose the gospel is preached to you. You get saved, but you are the fruit of somebody. You are somebody's fruit. If you lead somebody to Christ, they are your fruit. Okay? So, let's suppose somebody preached the gospel to you, and the tree represents the gospel, or the vine, and then the apple, or whatever that happens to be, grapes, plot of grapes, whatever, that is the fruit of the gospel. Suppose you are that fruit. Somebody preached the gospel, you are that fruit. Now, suppose you lead somebody else to Christ. Well, that would be your fruit. So I drew a pie there. That's a pie. That's an apple pie. It really is. Yeah. Yeah. That represents the fruit of the fruit. Now, if that was a pile of grapes, let's somebody gave you the gospel, right? Somebody gave you the gospel. You would be their fruit. Let's suppose you were the grape, okay? Just symbolically speaking. And you led somebody to Christ. What would be the fruit of the grape? Grape juice. Or wine. Grape juice. Okay. Suppose that was an olive tree. You get an olive from an olive tree, right? That's the fruit. Suppose you take that olive and you made olive oil, right? That would be the fruit of the fruit. Okay, good. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Now, if you will, let's see here. I'm going to change my route altogether. Yeah, I'm going to have to do that. But I'm going to explain something first. So during the 7-year tribulation, the gospel is going to be preached, right? But you got to remember, when the tribulation begins, there are no saved people. Nobody's saved. Everybody's lost when the tribulation begins. But the gospel is going to be preached. How in the world is that going to happen?
Spirit's not going to be there. Spirit's not going to be there.
Angels first, and the witnesses, and then the 144,000.
Absolutely perfect. Absolutely. So with that in mind, let's go to Revelation chapter 14 and show you the beginning. Revelation chapter 14. In verse 6. Now let's go to verse 4. This will help explain what I'm talking about. Okay? In verse 4, Revelation chapter 14, we have a picture of the 144,000 Jews. Also, Revelation chapter 7, picture of the same people. 144,000 Jews out of Israel. 12,000 out of each tribe. In verse 3, the last part of the verse 3, 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Remember now, this is the 7-year tribulation. Nobody was saved when it began, right? Everybody who was saved was taken at the rapture. When the 7-year tribulation begins, it begins with nobody but lost. The world will hate one another. There will be no love in the world. The Antichrist will run the world. He will rule the world. The people are going to love him. But, notice verse 6, if you will. We'll go to verse 6, okay? And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. And then in verse 3 and 4, we have the redeemed out of Israel. And look at the last part of verse 4. These were redeemed from among men, the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now you follow me so far? The first fruits.
That's the 12 tribes of Israel.
The 12 tribes of Israel, 144,000. So first of all, you have the angel come down with the gospel, right? Remember, nobody's saved when the tribulation begins. And you have the angel come down from heaven. Now hold your place in Revelation. Well, no, we don't need to go back here. Go over here to Revelation chapter 11. Let's go over here. Revelation chapter 11. Verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. The two witnesses. These are the same two witnesses that we read about in Zechariah. In Zechariah, I believe I have it listed up there. Zechariah chapter 3.
Chapter 4.
Chapter 4, verses 2 to 14. Yeah. Zechariah chapter 4. Same two witnesses. Let's go back here to Revelation. 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. What do they prophesy about? The gospel. The gospel. They preach the gospel. Where did they get it from? The angel. The angel preached. Who are these two witnesses? I don't have any idea. Only Christ knows who they are, where they come from, if they're saved or lost before. I have no idea. All I know is they are two witnesses. And they witness for, let's go back here, 1,260 days, 3.5 years, for the first half of the 7-year tribulation, these two witnesses preach the gospel. Where did they get the gospel? From the angel. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And then we could read the rest of the whole thing. We won't bother. But notice what happens to them. We'll get back onto this in the future. Verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them. Why? Because they are, in verse 9, they are killed by the Antichrist. They are killed by the Antichrist. If you read the rest of the portion here, we're not going to do that. However, what have they done, these two witnesses? They led the 144,000 Jews to Christ. What did the 144,000 do? They led a multitude to Christ. A multitude. The gospel. Now turn back in Revelation chapter 6, verse 6, if you will. In chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, we have the red horse. The Antichrist creates war, havoc, wars everywhere. A great sword is given unto him. And it says that he will take peace from the earth. No peace. They will kill one another in verse 4. That's humanity. The two witnesses are preaching the gospel for 3.5 years. 144,000 Jews get saved by the two witnesses. The 144,000 Jews lead a multitude to Christ. Now look in verse 5 and 6. In 5 we see the pair of balances. We went through that last week. In verse 6, we see a measure of wheat for a penny. That is, food will be scarce and it'll take a whole day's wages to buy a loaf of bread, roughly. But notice the last part of that verse. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. What in the world does that mean?
The fruit of the vine.
The fruit of the vine. Now, look in verse. Some people say that is the rich. But I don't believe that, because I want you to look in verse 15 of chapter 6. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, slave, every free man, hid themselves. So everybody's being hurt, right?
Yep.
So it's not the rich. So the oil and the wine are those who are saved out of the tribulation to go into the kingdom. The kingdom has to begin with people, literal people. And so God says, hurt not the oil and the wine. Look in chapter 7, verse 3. There's an angel ascending out of the east. And in verse 3 of chapter 7, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Who are these? The oil and the wine. The two witnesses, the 144,000, and those that God are going to divinely protect during the seven-year tribulation, that the Antichrist will not be able to kill. Because the kingdom starts with flesh and blood humanity, just like you and I. And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and they were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. This is just the beginning. So first of all, you have the gospel preached, the tree or the vine, okay? Which represents literally Jesus Christ. Then you have the fruit of the vine. And then you have the fruit of the fruit. There's going to be a multitude of people, the oil and the wine. Turn in your Bibles to Numbers chapter 18 before we run out of time. Numbers chapter 18. Hurt not the oil and the wine. Divinely protected. Numbers chapter 18, if you will. Look in verse 8, if you will. And the Lord spoke unto Aaron, who is a type of the priest, the preacher, the priest. Behold, I also have given thee the charge of my heave offerings. Of all the hallowed things of the children of Israel. You should underline that. The hallowed things of the children of Israel. Let me ask you a question. If a Jew comes out of the seven-year tribulation saved to go into the kingdom, will he not be a hallowed thing? He certainly will. He will be a hallowed thing. Of the children of Israel, unto thee have I given them by reason of the anointing, and to thy sons by an ordinance for how long?
Forever.
This shall be thine of the most holy things, reserved from the fire, the tribulation. Every oblation of theirs, every meat offering of theirs, every sin offering, every trespass offering, which they shall render unto me, shall be most holy for thee and for thy sons. Now, of course, we have the primary interpretation, which was literal at that point in time. And we also have the practical application, which is yet future, which is also the prophetical implication. In the most holy place thou shalt eat it, every male shall eat it, it shall be holy unto thee. By the way, does Israel have a most holy place today? No, they do not. And this is thine, the heave offering of thy gift, with all the wave offerings of the children of Israel. I have given them unto thee and to thy sons and daughters with thee by a statute forever. Not until the church begins, not until the tribulation, not until the rapture, but forever. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. All the best of the oil and all the best of the wine. Did you see that? Notice something else in that verse. And of the wheat, the first fruits. Does that make sense? The oil and the wine. You have the first fruits of them which they shall offer unto the Lord. Them have I given thee. And whatsoever is first ripe in the land which they shall bring unto the Lord shall be thine. Everyone that is clean in thy house shall eat of it. We have the redeemed of Israel, the remnant of Israel, and it is the first fruits and the oil and the wine. The oil and the wine is always the fruit of the fruit. Does that make sense? Well, it does to me. Okay, turn back in your Bible before we run out of time. We've got just a couple minutes left. I'm going to have to hurry up because we were talking this morning. Well, Ron and I were talking about having more music in the church. And we're going to have nothing but music, and we're only going to save 10 minutes for teaching the Bible. And that doesn't leave much time.
No.
No? Well, okay then. Back to the Bible, Revelation chapter 6, if you will. In Revelation chapter 6, we have the third seal. The third seal is open, the black horse, the balances, the oil and the wine, which represents the saved who will go into the thousand-year reign of Christ. God will divinely protect him, Revelation chapter 12. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed on with him. And power was given over him, was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. We'll get back on the beast of the earth next week, but imagine this, if you will. The fourth seal is open, which represents the so-called fourth horse of the apocalypse, the pale horse. He represents death, hell, Hades, hunger. Why would God put the word death and Hades there? Because they are eternally lost. Death, eternal separation from God, and Hades, which is Hades. You got to remember, there's no saved person in Hades today. They are lost. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth. Somebody said that there's about 7 billion people in the world today. But it changes every day. Out of 7 billion people, and one-fourth part of the earth are killed during the first 3.5 years, that runs right to about, I don't know.
Almost 1.8 billion people.
1.8 billion?
Something like that.
That's a lot, isn't it? Can you imagine that people dying in 3.5 years? Where are you going to put the bodies? Where are you going to put them? And they die with hunger. And with death. I mean, the sword, wars. What a terrible time it's going to be. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I won't be here.
The beast there of the earth, in that word, there's so many animals that have rabies and animals overtake the people.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next week because it's going to take some time. But imagine that. Imagine having a dog, your cute little sweet little puppy, and he turns on you. Think about it. I feel sorry for my neighbors because they just got another dog. They got 4 in the house now. And 2 out back. If they miss the rapture, they're in the world of hurt. I'm not going to be here to help them. And I don't know if I'd help them anyway, even though I love them to pieces, because I'm not going to let a dog tear me up. But it's going to be a terrible time, let me tell you. Now let's go back to, we're really out of time, but we want to go back to Matthew chapter 24 one more time here. Read some of this again. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation. That means humanity against humanity. Kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be the world. I mean, just think about North America. You got the United States, Mexico, Canada. Everybody's going to be fighting. And there'll be famines, pestilence, earthquakes. That means earthquakes all over the place. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. But you know what Jesus Christ said? All these things will be fulfilled. Now, I may have given you some references in your... let me give you some references. You can write these down. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6. And Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 35. Jesus Christ said, all these things will be fulfilled. There are three things that are going to be fulfilled during a seven-year tribulation. First of all, it's the Old Testament. The second thing that will be fulfilled will be the new prophecies in the New Testament. The Lord Jesus Christ will open the seven-sealed book. That's not written yet. Well, it is now. And he'll open the seven seals. That's new. Jesus Christ said that will be fulfilled. And the third thing that will be fulfilled will be the times of the Gentiles, which is the time that we are living in. But I want to tell you something. I think we're living in the good times. This is a great period in history to be living. You say, well, I don't know, it's not that nice out. Yeah, it is. Well, it broke my foot. We are living in the best times in history. We live in a time when we have access to a Bible. I've got a whole bunch in my home. There was a time period in history when you could not have a Bible. There was a time period in history when governments didn't allow people and churches didn't allow you to have a Bible. Now you can have a Bible. You can have any translation you want. You can have a whole house full of them. You can take your Bible anywhere you go and not be. This is a great period in history to be alive, isn't it? It's a great period because you can look to the cross, put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and have eternal life. And nobody can take it away from you. This is a great period in history because you can get in your car and go anywhere and do anything you want to go. And this great country that you live in, you ought to be glad you live in this country. I'm glad I live in this country. I'm glad the Lord saw to it that I was born in this country. I was born in a little old place in West Virginia in the middle of the hills. They thought about leaving me there. But I got out. That's where I learned to speak hillbilly. I speak English, Greek, and hillbilly. I speak three languages. It's a great time period in history to be alive, isn't it? You say, well, you know, I need this and I need that. I'll tell you what. My Bible says that my God shall supply all your needs, not your wants, according to His riches. There isn't a person in this room that doesn't have everything they need. You have everything you need. You might not have everything you want, but you have everything you need. It's a great time period in history. It's a great time period because we have the Holy Spirit on this earth withholding sin. Yeah. Holding back Satan, holding back his demons. I mean, they're still here, they're still working. But if it weren't for the Holy Spirit holding them back, this place would be a hell to live on. But when the Holy Spirit's gone, think about it. You know what, I'm lucky. When the Holy Spirit leaves, I'm going with Him. I'm not going to be left behind. Are you? In closing, let me show you this. We'll get back on Revelation next week. I know we're spending a lot of time. You'll probably want to get on to something else. Well, it'll never happen. Anyhow, the Bible says we're all sinners. This represents me. This represents my sin. I can go to hell and pay for it. Or I can put my faith and trust in Christ. The Bible says Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. for the forgiveness of sin. For God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, you and me, believeth in him shall never perish, but ever. When I put my faith in Christ, he takes my sin, puts it to his account. Now I have eternal life. I can go to the Bible and read about all the terrible things that are coming, but I don't have to go through them. He made a promise, didn't he? Or I can go to hell and pay for my own death and Hades. But I'm not going. I refuse. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll close. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for his word. And we thank you, Lord, that he died on the cross and paid for our sin. All I have to do is believe it. That's all I have to do. Believe that he died on the cross and paid for my sin. I have eternal life. And then he gives us something we don't deserve, his Holy Spirit, that guarantees that we can know his word, understand it, and be with him for all time and eternity in heaven because the Holy Spirit guarantees it. What a blessing. We'll thank you for it in his name. Amen. Okie dokie. Let's see here. We're in the right place.
Watch that key today, Deeds.